The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, but who knows what direction he is on your screen, it's Professor Jim Tubbs.
Hello, hello.
How's it going, Jim? You're back in the bucolic splendor of your armchair.
That's right. Yes, the wing chair in the living room. Yes, that's where I am relaxing right now.
We had a great time catching up with your dish cabinet last week, your hutch or...
Well, yeah, but that's where I teach from. So I thought it would be nice to relax while I'm recording here.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. How was the last week for you, Jim?
Actually, it went pretty well. Didn't get that much done, but, you know, did what I had to do, did what I needed to do.
All right, we'll take it. To my right, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
Hey, good to be here.
Hey, how was the last week for you, Beth?
Pretty good. I'm not as far ahead in terms of preparing PowerPoints as I would like. I'm just like a step ahead, barely, of the students, which is not such a big deal, but will become a big deal with midterms when we've got all the grading to do. So trying to figure out how to work around that somehow.
Kind of steering that down, right? Because this is the end of week six. So you could argue that next week is crossing over. So pretty crazy, actually. I have a feeling, Beth, that this next month is either going to go very fast or very slow. A lot of academics, non-academics, don't really understand that October is the busiest month of the academic year. Presentations to give, at least back in the old way of thinking. And then, of course, no break plus midterm is enough to make anybody's hair turn white. So, frankly, when I hear you say you're a lecture ahead or whatever, you're way beyond where I am right now. I can tell you that right now. Whew. Professor Dave Chow is here with us today.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. So your cover photo, which you entertain us with when you log in every week, was Boy George and Mr. T.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sort of chokehold there. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I have a variety of odd photos of celebrities, odd celebrity gatherings. That's all. So
I think that's cool.
Yeah. So that's another odd hobby that I just don't need to be paying for, but I can at least search online and do it on the cheap. So.
Right. We look forward to you with a still from that commercial from the 90s next week where Donald Trump is talking to Grimace of McDonald's.
No. Oh, I say every week that we should follow Jim's tradition and all of us should go to a different room in the house.
Oh, right. Right.
What do you think? We just move it around at least a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I think different backgrounds. They have.
Or through the yard. Sure. Yeah.
I'll just turn my chair around and you'll think it's a different room.
Hey, at least you can rotate in your chair, Dan. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah,
I'm kind of stuck here. I'm wedged in.
You're a bit wedged. Yes.
Yeah, just a bit. So,
Professor Stephen Manning is here with us today.
Good afternoon.
We have this beautiful painting or print behind you.
Your house is full of bad paintings, probably.
The most likely scenario for you getting rid of all that was probably late last Tuesday night.
Yes, and since that incident too, since that event.
Yes, exactly. Wow. I look forward at some point at a faculty department meeting between now and who knows when to be able to say, man, do you ever shut up? I just simply can't wait. It's probably going to be to Benvenuto the more that I think about it. But
I love the t-shirts that have come out since. So,
or calling your dean a clown. That would be classic. Mm-hmm.
How about just go all the way to the president with that one? See how that goes.
Yeesh. And he was being polite.
I think he was.
Yeah.
He was undoubtedly complimenting on his ability to get into small cars.
Yes.
It's a Shriner compliment, right?
Those are the dulcet tones of Professor Jeff Boats.
Howdy.
How's it going, Jeff?
I am awash in inverse trig functions, which is more pleasant than it sounds.
Yeah, no, that's pretty awesome. What?
It's got to be more pleasant than it sounds.
It sounds bad.
If you've seen one arc secant, you've seen them all.
Yeah, I was definitely having a little trig flashback there, but it's not all bad. It's not all bad. I think, Jeff, I could draw a unit circle if you like pin me to the wall. I think I could do it.
There's that old story about Archimedes, or no, it was Da Vinci. Da Vinci could take a piece of chalk and draw freehand a 20-foot circle, and it would be absolutely perfect to any measurement. He could draw it on the sidewalk or the pavement or whatever they had in his day, the dirt.
Wow.
He was gifted, that's for sure.
I always tell that story when I have to apologize to my class for not being able to tell that what I just drew was a circle.
Yeah. He's also left-handed, just saying.
Yes. Yeah. Positives.
He must have got his chalk at the left orium. That's the secret.
No doubt.
Professor Heather Hill is here with us today.
Hello.
Looking a little nonplussed, Heather. Everything okay?
Fine. Just fine.
That's the whistle pigs.
I was recalling that on Tuesday night, when I woke up on Wednesday morning, I realized that I'd had a dream about Donald Trump being a member of one of my courses.
Oh.
In a suit. Raising a ruckus.
With Trump a very ad, long Trump necktie. Ad.
Yeah. The other student was trying to present, and he just kept, it was crazy.
That was polite.
Professor Dan Maggio is here with us today.
Hi, Matt. And I actually have a question. Do you have any students that come to class like in a suit and tie?
I did it one time.
From time to time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but usually there's some event or they have an
interview. Outside of the pledging stuff, which can get a little crazy. I was just curious. I remember back in the day that we used to have a student or two that always dressed for success in the occasion. So,
or a very evangelical type that just dresses up for school and church, you know, the same way.
And now they show up in flannel pants. And
I will always be forever thankful that they do show up in pants.
Yes.
Bare minimal.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good point.
Well, mine won't turn on their cameras at home, so I assume that that's because they're not wearing pants.
Right.
Last but certainly not least, there is a tail, there is a back, but there's also Professor Mara Lindsay.
Yes, hello.
Tail just comes through the frame. It's
awesome. Just Jupiter finding her way to the warm nook in my lap.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, that cat knows our schedule better than we do, you know? I mean,
she does.
Well, and now that's why she's here. She can get pets instead of, you know, Mara having to teach and ignore her.
That's right.
Oh, she comes on my lap during class too.
Ah,
that doesn't stop her.
Unstoppable. I tell you what, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. You stump the professors, you win a prize. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by surrendering your rights and asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. We've got a set of questions here from one of our longtime question senders. Dear Matt and professors, we've sent in a few lists of ATP favorites and are overjoyed that it's come in handy for your show, but we haven't forgotten our duty in coming up with questions either. We've been stockpiling as of late and following our 20 questions in all manner of topics. We hope they meet with your approval and prove entertaining. Ordinarily, I'd sign off with warmest greetings from Valencia, California, but seeing as how it's been consistently in the triple digits, with smoke and ash-covered skies, I'll forego that greeting and just wish you generic wishes. Said Frank Burrows. And, yes, thank
generic.
You.
Generic.
That's my new email signature.
Generic
wishes. Generic wishes.
I can't let it slide without, as always, one of my favorite Simpsons quotes. He's like, would you have said that you were a well-wisher? And the guy strokes his chin. He goes, well, I wasn't here to wish you any specific harm. So
generic.
Let's get into our generic questions here.
Frank needs to copyright that, actually. That's a good idea.
Wow, triple digits and smoke and ash, just enough, by the way, matter to trap in all the heat.
Yeah.
It's some brutal transition to triple winter out there. This is a wonderful piece of trivia. I've never heard it before. Remember that Charles Schultz drew peanuts for basically almost exactly 50 years. How many individual strips did he do by the end? where he passed right after he retired, if you remember correctly.
I think it was like 15 or 17,000.
I have to give it to you, Dave.
Was it daily or weekly?
Daily,
including daily. Sundays.
It says what's... here 17,897. So it's just short of 18,000 strokes.
Wow.
The air was bar, a machine.
He was a machine, absolutely. What was the name of the first battleship that was built on the west coast of the United States? Don't think too hard.
California?
Yeah, it was the USS California.
Oh, okay. I was thinking like the Ronald Reagan or something like that, but okay.
I mean, I know there's a really big base in San Diego. Do they build ships there, or is there another place on the west coast?
I don't remember. There's a ship repair place in San Diego, so there may be a shipyard for building too. Hmm.
In Norse mythology, the sun does not bring light to Valhalla. These objects do. What brings light to Valhalla?
Magic mushrooms?
Magical orb.
Golden goblets.
No, Heather, they are objects of the warrior. How's that for a hint?
An axe?
Swords.
Swords. Swords. Oh. Bring. Make sure you don't leave home without it. Otherwise, you'll be in the dark.
Gee, I'll have to dig mine out from under the bed.
I thought you had yours dangling over the bed, Jim.
No, I took it down last week.
Okay.
Damn it. You don't want to do that. If you had an earthquake, for example, and it fell off the wall, it could impale you.
You could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Live life on the edge.
Gravity works.
Which, out of the sword?
In the movie The Blues Brothers, Jake and Elwood called the head nun at the orphanage where they grew up what?
Penguin.
The penguin, yes.
Oh.
Don't anger the penguin.
Not the Danny DeVito penguin, I hope. So.
No. What cause did Woodrow Wilson champion that won him the Nobel Prize?
The League of Nations.
The League of Nations, yes, absolutely.
He failed to get it passed the Senate in the U.S., but he won the Nobel Prize nevertheless.
That's right.
Good for him.
What was the year when Novocaine was first used in dentistry? This is actually, I'm not quite sure how to frame this one for you because it's probably not what you're thinking right now. So throw away your first guess and go with your second guess.
1896.
So my first guess was really old. So I'm going to guess really recent.
I
so
like 1930s.
1972.
Is Novocaine the product of a natural plant or does it have to be manufactured?
I think it's coinciding with mass synthesis, and that's actually why I'm giving it to Heather, because it was 1901.
Oh,
I just would have thought it to be more recent.
I did too.
FYI, the little side note here. Before that, let's remember the American Civil War was the first time we did antiseptic anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we were probably into ether, chloroform, or just straight up cocaine.
Ooh. So,
yeah.
Into cocaine?
And opium.
I mean, for the record, Novocaine is a structure that is only a few atoms away from cocaine. So, I mean, it does what it's supposed to do.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the 9 professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations, thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. The professors return to answer more questions in less than 60 seconds. But first, it's an Ask the Professor flashback.
1995.
From the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer.
Yeah, hi, Edwin.
My God. Jeez. And on Arthur's right, my left, from the Department of English, Professor Hugh Kulin.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. How did the hunting go?
I was with Greg. It's the first time he's tried it out.
That's right. And I got 2, he got 0.
That was, but aside from other people we were hunting with, how'd we do on the deer?
Oh. We hit a couple coming
on
coming
the way home. Back. Oh, yeah. On the way back. Yep. Yeah, right. Run, Bambi, run.
Kaboom.
Yeah.
Mother.
Your mother's not coming back
mother.
Anymore, Bambi.
She's in huge
refrigerator. We've got questions from Frank Burroughs from Valencia, California. What famous invention did Mary Anderson make for the automotive industry?
Windshield wipers.
Yeah, it was windshield wipers in 1983.
Nice. Yes.
Was that a guess?
Yeah, that was great.
Clearly.
Wow.
No, I'm an automotive historian on the side.
She's car girl.
Reaction? Of course it was a guess. Did you see her reaction?
Yeah.
What?
You couldn't have faked that. True. You
couldn't have faked it. No way.
Quiet in your box over there, Dr.
You know, it says it's 1903, so I mean that is just about as original to a car as a steering wheel, as far as I'm concerned. That's the
very
modern. Go girl. Go girl.
In what city?
She went to Washington.
Yeah, probably.
And lots of rain.
In what city is this fictional building? The Osgood R. Flim Building.
Oh, WKRP.
That's right. So technically,
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, that's right.
Such a great show.
Okay, what kind of toy is a beatnik bandit?
So it's definitely got some hippie thing to it.
Uh huh.
Beatnik, a ukulele.
I can tell you that all three of my sons have played with these toys, and we have
whatever it is. I'm sure you look stupid doing it, but. The cool thing is you don't act like you look stupid while you're doing it.
Beatnik. What, like a ukulele or some kind of musical instrument?
Like a pogo stick?
Refer to the face or the eyes? No.
Tiny little V-dub matchbox
car. That is exactly what it is. It's a Hot Wheels car.
Yeah. Really?
Matchbox what?
Wow. Heather, you're buying us lottery tickets.
Right.
There are a lot of nicknames for the Hot Wheels cars that I'm guessing that they've gone through over the years, because not anything like specifically like racist or anything, but I mean, Beatnik Bandit is kind of pushing it, but it is a VW.
Never heard that before.
What a famous actor had his screen test evaluation read, can act, slightly balding, also dances.
Fred Astaire.
Yes, Fred Astaire. And oh, Heather is officially...
Dang.
Oh, Heather is killing it tonight.
Heather, I'm going to take a break. I'm just going to watch you for the rest of the show.
Oh my gosh. Pretty incredible. What retail chain once had Connie Stevens, Suzanne Summers, and John Madden as their spokespeople?
Ace.
Do you have a list of these?
Oh my God.
What are you? Are you like one of the Burroughs relatives? Wow.
Leave some for the rest of us.
Sorry.
No, go.
No, actually don't. I don't know any of these.
That's why she's my BFF. Because she's...
All right, let's see. Now it's a test, Heather. We've got our baseline. Now it's a test. The world's oldest national broadcasting organization started in 1922. It's about to celebrate its 100th anniversary. In a couple of years, what is it?
The BBC.
Yeah, it's the BBC.
Yep. Yeah, the Beeb.
Yeah. Did Heather take a break or something?
No, she said it at the same time.
Oh.
Yeah, she looked to the side for a nap.
I just assumed it was American, which was pretty stupid.
No, that's not stupid at all.
No,
not stupid.
Not stupid, Beth.
The... top two best-selling books of all time. I believe most folks here know the number one is the Bible. But what's
Bible.
Number two?
Gone with the Wind?
It's not. It's not a novel.
The Guinness book?
It's not Guinness, although that's a good guess.
Windows for Dummies?
The OED?
Not a dictionary. It's not a reference book.
We know what our president would say it is.
Part of the deal?
Yes.
Is it the phone book?
Mao's Little Red Book.
No.
Oh.
I'll guess the Bhagavad Gita.
No, but that I'd say that's a pretty good guess, actually.
The Quran?
Let me just say this as our clue. It's not the Quran. I am always disturbed, even though you can't even really go to bookstores anymore these days. But I used to be deeply disturbed going to Borders and seeing the science and nature section have its like two or three shelves. And then like the self-help section or crystals or things like that be like quadruple.
Yes.
Amount. So
when the crystals are in the philosophy section under metaphysics. I'm like, no. Well,
Matt, the ocean liner books didn't even have one full shelf.
I know.
Not the power of positive thinking.
No.
Oh, like Dr. Spock?
Like, you know, chicken soup or something.
Chicken soup for the soul.
Right.
Let me think.
It says here it's the complete prophecies of Nostradamus is the second.
You're kidding.
Wait.
Whoa.
Really? Is that kind of like the Bible? No.
Sort of. But...
Gone with the Wind was
probably. I mean, the Revelation, at least Revelation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hey, what's uniquely different about the Starbucks that's at CIA headquarters?
They don't sell coffee.
That would be...
It's a secret entrance.
They only sell secrets.
Tea only.
All the coffee is free.
No, it has something to do with the coffee, but it looks like they actually
sell. You can't bring your own containers in, for sure.
It's laced that might with be true, caffeine or cocaine.
They have funny names that reflect weird CIA things.
Yeah, basically they're not allowed to write names on the cups.
Oh, like Agent X.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well.
But I like Mara's take better. Like, they should just have a bunch of goofy names that they give no matter what. Like, hey, you clown, your latte's up or Blackout. Whatever.
Blue tie or
rendition.
That threw me. I'm such a country bumpkin. The first time I went to a Starbucks and I asked, you know, for an order, and they said, can I have a name for the coffee? And I was like, caffeina? What would you name a coffee? I don't
name it, had to explain it to me.
Waterboarding.
And other fun CIA tips and tricks.
I like Jeff's take, by the way, also. That's like, well, they definitely don't sell secrets there. At least usually they don't.
They rent them. So.
Only once a month.
After looking at the data post-World War II, many things had been rationed. How many pairs of shoes had been rationed per citizen after the war was won?
Huh?
United States. After the war. Looking back over World War II, how many pairs of shoes were rationed per citizen in the United States?
Oh, in the U.S. Okay.
Two.
Oh.
Two, yeah.
Yeah, two.
I'd say four.
It was three. If Kendra were here, she would have said three. It was three pairs of shoes per citizen. That's a big deal if you think about it. That's kind of a big deal. We can get people to cut down on their carbon output. We might be in a little better shape in a few years here.
Sugar was rationed too during World War II.
Yes. And in Great Britain for a long time after.
Absolutely.
As
last
we meet.
Question here. As always, Frank and family, just awesome, awesome.
Yeah, great questions. Uh-huh.
I think I've heard this one before, but maybe it's been long enough that we'll be able to make it entertaining. The largest employer of any type in the state of Michigan, do you know what it is?
Forestry? Mm-mm.
The state itself?
It's not
automotive industry.
It's an automotive. Yeah,
health is a good guess, and so is automotive, but they're both incorrect.
Is it healthcare? Mm-hmm. The state. You said the state of Michigan. We already. What about University of Michigan?
Well, I was going to say it could be related to healthcare. It's University of Michigan has the most employees of any business entity. Okay. But I think it's probably because of their at least in part a part of their hospital network that does.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a look at ATP favorites. Remember, we are operating in a new world from the Burroughs family. Warmest witness and Frank and family. This is interesting questions that have never been considered before. Let's see. I believe last week we did something like, would you rather have your name in the title of a top 10 song or have a alcoholic beverage named after yourself?
Drinks.
Easy.
Let's see.
Yeah.
I get both.
Or you could do both. That's right. Okay. All right. If you could trade places with anybody at the table for a day, so this is, I think, everybody here, who would it be and why?
At what table?
Should we answer that? The
panelist table.
At my table? Like
here? Oh. Yeah.
Getting a little personal, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not a personal question.
Well, I have an easy answer. I have an easy answer here. I'm going to say I'm going to trade places with Steven so I can be retired.
Oh.
Yeah. I was going to say Mar or Beth because I would know what it would like to not be allergic to cats. That would actually be kind of nice.
There you go.
I think Heather and enjoy her sabbatical with her. or as her.
I don't know. Jim, I trade places with you. You got a comfier chair than I do.
All right.
And nicer dishes.
Oh. I think I might pick Dave because then I'd be able to go to Canada and then I think I'd stay there.
Ah, yes.
Wow. I might pick Dave too because I'd like to be able to draw that well.
I would like to be able to draw that well.
Yeah, creator side. Yep.
Absolutely.
Oh, Canada.
That would be a good choice. I'd know what it was like to believe in God. That would be, I would like to know what that's like.
Sure.
I mean, I could trade places with Matt for that reason. That would actually be interesting too.
Oh, wait a minute. Hey, I don't know, Matt. Have three little kids.
But Jim also has the retired thing going on, so I think it's a, you know, two versus one thing.
Yeah, and I don't know, Steven, retired. Yeah,
I can't pick myself though, right?
Well, you could. Sure, I mean, why could. Not?
I guess I'd pick Jim for the same retirement reason.
Yeah, but he's still teaching.
The retirement without the teaching.
Yeah, right. There you go.
He was asking me questions about retirement before he retired.
Plan ahead. That's smart.
You are my guinea pig, Jim.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Well, and not whistle pig, so I mean.
Right.
What about the only you, other Pat?
Variation I think I might say would be Stephen, because I'd love to explore the next 4 weeks from the perspective of political science, knowing all the political science that you know.
That would be interesting. Yeah. Yes.
Well, and he wants to not be, he'd know what it was like to not be allergic to cats if he were.
Right. Yes. There's that too. Yep. There that too.
Yep. Heather, Dan, have we heard from you on this topic?
I said Dave.
We both said Dave.
Yeah. Why not? Why not?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been quite this popular, and it's really the exact opposite of high school.
What goes around comes around. Let me tell you, things change, Stephen. It's the whole new world.
Yeah, being in high school is even more god awful now.
Yeah,
well, ooh. It
was.
True, quite true.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
That'd be I'm brutal. Afraid,
also, it's time for us to say goodbye, Mara.
See you later.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Heather.
Bye-bye.
Jeff.
See you later.
Steven.
Bye.
Dave.
See ya.
Beth.
Bye.
And Jim.
Arrivederci.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. We're produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Till next time, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.